I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10, please. The Gospel by John, chapter 10, and reading at verse 1, and then back to Psalm 23. The Gospel by John, chapter 10, and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And then back to Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23, and we began this little series of studies last Sunday morning that we have entitled From Earth to Glory. And I want to look at each verse in the psalm as the chapter of a book. And we discovered that the last chapter of the book brings us to glory. And we often sing about the sweet by and by. But oh, my dear friends, it's not the sweet by and by that troubles us. It's the nasty now and now. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about success over stress. Success over stress. You ever get stressed up? I'm stressed up all the time. And I can tell you, I'm stressed up even standing before you this morning. You mightn't think it, but I want to tell you, I am, every time I come to preach. And I want to talk to you this morning about success over stress. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. I shall not want. Here's our text. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Just keep your Bible open there. Robert Orman once said, sometimes I get the feeling that the whole world is against me. But deep down, I know that that's not true. Some of the smaller countries are neutral. I wonder this morning, do you ever feel that the whole world is against you? Do you ever feel pressed in body, in mind, in spirit? One stressed out secretary told her boss on one occasion, when this rush is over, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I earned it, I deserved it, and nobody's going to take it from me. Now, sheep in the Middle East get up about 4 in the morning. That's before most of you. They get up and they begin to nibble, they begin to browse about 4 in the morning. And the shepherd leaves them out of the sheepfold when the dew is still on the grass and all around is very quiet. And the sheep will nibble there and they'll browse there and they'll graze there up until about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And then the sun begins to get hot and the shepherd will find some secluded spot with green pastures and the sheep will lie down and they'll lie there for 3 or 4 hours and they'll chew the cud. Now it's at that time when the sheep is lying down, when everything around is quiet, When it's digesting what it's ingested, when it's chewing the cud, it's that time that the sheep are growing. It's that time that the sheep are putting on wool. It's that time that the sheep are putting on fat. And every shepherd knows how important it is for his sheep to have a quiet time. Do you see how David puts it? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now I want to talk to you this morning about success over stress. I wonder, is stress a problem to you? So many of us are stressed up, tensed up, running here and there and yonder, so much in a hurry. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think it's wrong for us to be still and to be quiet. I heard about a lady who phoned her pastor on one occasion, and she said to her pastor, "I tried to ring you all day Monday, but couldn't get you." Well, he said, "Monday's my day off, and I was resting." Well, she said, "You know, the devil never takes a day off." "Yes," he said, "and if I didn't, I would just be like the devil." You see, God wants his sheep to learn to lie down in the green pastures and drink at the still waters. Now, it's interesting that there are plenty of running streams in the Middle East. There are plenty of bubbling streams in the Middle East. But the sheep will never drink there. They'll never drink where the waters are rushing. They'll only drink when the waters get into a quiet pool. And so he leads me beside the still waters. My dear friends, do you know why we're so tense? Do you know why we're stressed out? Because we're like sheep. The psalmist says, we are the sheep of his pasture. And you say this morning, "Well, that's wonderful. I'm a sheep." Well, I don't think God was trying to compliment us. He was just trying to give us a description of what we're like. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now, when you think of sheep this morning, you begin to realize that a sheep is not one of the smartest animals around. In fact, it's overloaded with dumbness. I wonder, have you ever gone to a circus and seen a trained sheep? Horses are trained, and lions are trained, and monkeys are trained, and elephants are trained, but not a sheep. Why? Because a sheep is not too smart. Why, you say this morning, "Dennis, I was the top of my class." Well, you misunderstand me. I'm talking in spiritual terms. You remember that Christ spoke to an intellectually educated man like Nicodemus, and he was at the top of his class, and he was spiritually ignorant. And to Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." We're like sheep. We're dumb. And then a sheep is defenseless. They're helpless, they're timid creatures. Their only recourse when they're attacked is to run. You know this morning that other animals will defend themselves. Why? A mule will kick and a lion will bite and a skunk will, you know what a skunk will do, but a sheep is pretty defenseless. A sheep needs someone to protect them. That's the way it is with us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that our sufficiency is of God. You see, you and I don't have it this morning in and of ourselves. Sometimes we feel that when we get saved, we can lead the Christian and live the Christian life in and of ourselves, but we cannot. Our sufficiency is of God. A sheep is dumb. A sheep is defenseless. Something else, a sheep lacks direction. Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And sheep nibble and browse, and they get away from the flock, and they get away from the shepherd, and they're out there lost, and that's bad enough. But a sheep will never find its way home. You remember what God says about his people in Hosea? "My people are bent to backsliding from me." You and I, even as believers, we have a tendency to get away from God. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the sheep nature. The sheep is dumb. The sheep is defenseless. The sheep is directionless. The sheep is dependent on the shepherd. Philip Keller is a shepherd. And he tells us that sometimes a sheep can become cast. The sheep rolls on its back. And it cannot get up, and it becomes vulnerable to vultures and to wolves. And when it's on its back and cannot get up, its circulation begins to be cut off, and it's called a cast sheep. And David had that in mind when he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" We get into this cast position, and only the shepherd needs to come along and picks us up, and he puts us on our feet again. Wonder, has he ever done that for you? When you were down and you couldn't get up. And thank God for the shepherd. You see, you and I this morning are like sheep, and because of that, we have a tendency to get stressed. Now, how can we be successful over stress? Well, I believe verse 2 provides the answer. I want to give you three things this morning that I believe is the key to victory over stress. Here's the first one. When we can be stress-free when we allow the shepherd's presence to console us. We can be stress-free when we allow the shepherd's presence to console us. Did you know that sheep will never lie down unless they're free of all fear? The growl of a lion, the bark of a dog, the presence of a little child, it'll be enough to frighten the sheep. In fact, the presence of a little baby will cause the sheep to go into a stampede. As long as there's this slightest suspicion of danger from dogs and cougars and bears, the sheep will get up. They'll be ready to flee from their lives. It's only the presence of the shepherd that reassures them. You say to me this morning, it's the absence of danger. No, it's not. It's the presence of the shepherd that reassures the sheep. Now notice what David says, verse 2. He maketh me. He leadeth me. You say, who's the he? Jehovah. And we discovered last Sunday morning that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Christ is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And there's nothing like the presence of the shepherd to dispel the fear, the terror of the unknown. Now, how do you handle stress? Well, you've got the shepherd's presence to console you. You see, it's impossible, the experts tell me, and we have a vet here this morning, and he'll be able to tell me too, but it's impossible for the sheep to lie down unless certain conditions are met. Let me give them to you. First of all, the fears of the sheep must be dealt with. Sheep are very nervous animals, as I have intimated already. They're easily frightened. Even a rabbit running from behind a bush will frighten the sheep. They're fearful. They so often are easily frightened, and their fears are not relieved by the absence of danger. Their fears are only relieved by the presence of the shepherd. There is nothing like the presence of the shepherd that can relieve the fears of the sheep. My friends, you and I this morning live in a most uncertain age. We can never remove every possible danger or threat. Any day can bring disaster and danger and distress from unknown quarters. Life is full of hazards. Not one of us know what a day may bring forth, but bless God, the fears of the sheep, our fears, can be dealt with by the ministry of the shepherd. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to defeat death and hell and the grave and to conquer every fear. He's the victor over all. Why? In his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ had the power over disease. He healed the sick. He had the power over demons. He cast them out. He had the power over death. He raised the dead. He had the power over the devil. He defeated him. And on Calvary, he completed that victory over death and hell and the grave. And he arose from the dead the third day. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And he says to us this morning, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. John, fear not. I wonder this morning, do you fear? What's your fear? Maybe you fear some person. Maybe you fear some circumstance in life. Maybe you fear your inability. Maybe you fear your weakness. Maybe you fear the unknown future. I wonder, will you bring that fear into the presence of the shepherd and allow him to dispel it? The fears of the sheep must be dealt with. Something else. The friction among the sheep must be dealt with. You see, sheep are like us. They're very contrary animals. They establish among themselves an order. Chickens have a pecking order, and cattle have a horning order, and sheep have a butting order. And usually you'll get some stubborn old ewe. He'll be the boss of the sheep. And she'll try to maintain her position, she'll try to maintain her prestige, and she'll butt, and she'll drive the other animals from the grazing grounds, from the green pastures, and that causes irritation among the sheep. The sheep become edgy, they become tense, they become discontented. But you know, whenever the shepherd appears, the friction ceases. And the quarrels are ended. So often, as God's people, there is friction and discord among us. We seem to like butting one another. I don't like what she says. I don't like what he has said. I don't like what he has done. I don't like what the pastor said, what the elder's done, and we always seem to be butting each other, and there seems to be this constant friction. And then the presence of the shepherd steps onto the scene, and when we consciously abide in the presence of the shepherd, the friction disappears. Wonder you angry this morning at some Christian, irritated because of them? I wonder, is it because you've taken your eyes off the shepherd? Wonder, is it because you've left Christ out of the picture? You see, those sheep will never lie down until their fears have been dealt with, until their friction has been dealt with. Something else. The fears of the sheep must be dealt with. The friction among the sheep must be dealt with. The fleas on the sheep must be dealt with. You see, sheep will never lie down if they're tormented by flies or parasites. It's only when they can be free from these pests that they can relax. And any good shepherd will come and he'll take various types of insect repellent and he'll apply that to his sheep. He'll see that the sheep are dipped in order to clear them of ticks. And the shepherd will see that there's an abundance of shelter, and he'll take them into the shade, and he'll take them into the trees, and he'll take them into the bush, that they might get relief from their tormentors. You know, in the Christian life, there are many irritations. Is there an antidote? Can we get to the place of quiet contentment despite them? Yes. Is that not one of the functions of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God, often in the New Testament, is symbolized by oil, by that which brings comfort, by that which brings healing to the harsh and the abrasive aspects of life. Wonder this morning, as a Christian, is something disturbing you? Wonder, do you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is beyond me. I can't cope with it. I can't rest. I can't lie down in the green pastures. Lord, take over. The psalmist says, he makes me to lie down. But sheep will never lie down unless the fears of the sheep are dealt with, Unless the friction among the sheep is dealt with, unless the flies on the sheep are dealt with, and unless the famine of the sheep is dealt with, a hungry sheep will never lie down. Hungry sheep's always on the move, moving from one bit of grass to another. And yet the psalmist says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now I want you to know this morning that these green pastures didn't happen by chance. You know, if you're out in the Middle East, if you're in Israel, you know that the ground there is very dry, it's barren, it's arid. And green pastures were the product of hard work. Green pastures were the product of much time. Green pastures were the product of much skill in land use. But it was the shepherd's responsibility to provide food for his sheep. I want you to pause for a moment and see the wonderful ministry of our shepherd. My fears are dealt with by the shepherd. Our friction is dealt with by the shepherd. The fleas, the irritations of life are dealt with by the shepherd. And the inner longings of my soul are met by the ministry of the shepherd. Now, you want success over stress? Well, listen. You've got the shepherd's presence to console you. Look at verse 2 again. Something else. You've not only got the shepherd's presence to console you, you've got the shepherd's provision to content you. He maketh me to lie down in brown, withered pastures. Is that it? He leads me beside the muddy streams. No, no, no. That's not how our shepherd provides. It's green pastures. It's still waters. All that I need, more than I need, I find in Christ. Now you say, why do we get stressed out? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we think our needs are not going to be met. That's why we get stressed out. And yet this shepherd provides for us materially. You see, when David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he means that the sheep have already grazed to their fill. Their bellies have been filled. And now they're lying down in the green pastures and they're resting in the blessing. My dear friend, this morning, if the Lord Jesus is your shepherd in one way or another, he'll see to it that your needs are met. I wonder, are you stressed out this morning because of material needs? You remember that in Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus said on three occasions, he said, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. In other words, stop worrying. You say, what do people worry about today? If you went up into Main Street, Lurgan on a Saturday morning, or maybe I should say Saturday afternoon because they never seem to get up too early in Lurgan. But if you went up there or went down to Royal Avenue in Belfast on a Saturday afternoon and you pause with people and say, what stresses you out? What is it that you're worrying about? They would say to you, well, there's my family. They can stress you out. And then there's my finance, and it stresses me out. And then there's food. And then there's fitness. I put on too much weight, and that stresses me out. And of course, there's the future. There's the fear of the unknown future. And yet the Lord Jesus said, those are all the things that the Gentiles seek after. All these things do the Gentiles, the unsaved, seek. Now, Jesus Christ is not saying that those things are not important, but what he is saying is this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. You say to me this morning, if I get involved in the kingdom and chase a life of holiness, what happens? All these other things will be added unto you. Get your priorities right, and all the rest will fall into place. Indeed, my dear friends, those things don't even take on significance until the deepest needs of your heart are met. You see, the shepherd not only provides for us materially, he provides for us spiritually. Look at what David says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You say, what did he mean? Does he mean having your bank account full? No. You remember that I said last Sunday morning that Psalm 22, 23, and 24, they form a trinity. Look for a moment at Psalm 22, and verse 29. It's an interesting phrase in verse 29. Psalm 22 and verse 29, it says this: all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. Talking about the innermost being. Look, for example, at verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart, your innermost being, shall live forever. You see, God wants healthy sheep this morning. You say, what do the green pastures speak of? The green pastures of his word. What do the still waters speak of? The still waters of his spirit. You'll find satisfaction in the Lord. And if you don't find contentment in the Lord, you'll be stressed out. And I'll tell you why. The deepest needs of your heart will never be met. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Bible is to you what grass is to the sheep, what bread is to the natural man. Here's the cure for stress. The green pastures of his word. Green pastures is simply a biblical image of God's word. Very interesting to notice that the word pastor is related to the word pasture. And what's a pastor? Well, some think that he's a social care worker. They do. We've got all mixed up. Some think that he's a social care worker. Others think that he's a doctor. What's a pastor? He's someone who leads the flock into the green pastures of God's word from Sunday to Sunday. Do you remember what Peter says to the elders of the church? And the elders need to be reminded of it. Feed the flock of God which is among you. That's the elders' responsibility, to feed God's people. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. C.H. Spurgeon says, what are these green pastures but the scriptures of truth? Always fresh, always rich, never exhausted. Fit food for souls as tender grass as natural nutriment for sheep. You remember when Israel were traveling through the wilderness? They fed on the manna. And on the manna, of the manna we read, they gathered it every morning. I wonder, do you rise in the morning to gather the heavenly manna? I'm greatly impressed with what God said to Moses on one occasion. In fact, it's been embedded on my mind for many years now. Here's what God said to Moses. Be ready in the morning. Be ready in the morning. And the biographies of great men and women of God repeatedly point out that the secret of success was attributed to the morning hours. Thomas Chalmers, the founding father of the Free Church of Scotland, entered the pulpit as an ordained modernist. And whenever the elders came to visit him, he was always at his books. They were spread over his desk. Books of astronomy, books of science, books of technology. And then one day Thomas Chalmers got gloriously saved. And when the elders came to visit him, they said, Thomas, we see now that there's only one book on your desk. And you never let it from your sight. It's the book of God. My friends, if we were to take a spiritual medical this morning, how's your appetite for the Word of God? Are you ready in the morning to meet with God in the light of His Word and in the atmosphere of prayer? There's the green pastures of His Word, but don't stop there. There's the still waters of the Spirit. I mean, you remember the cry of the good shepherd. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Bible teaches us that we're born again through the power of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, that the Holy Spirit empowers us as we seek to live holy lives for him, that he gives me hope in the trials of life. He guides me. He teaches me. He prays for me. He gives me help and comfort. He gives us spiritual gifts. He empowers us to witness to Christ throughout the world. With such a provision from the Good Shepherd, why do we seek to quench our thirst at the polluted, at the filthy cisterns of the world? Let me quote you again from Philip Keller. It's a lovely little book on the shepherd's psalm. He tells us, you know, that some sheep are stubborn sheep. Well, we all know that. Some sheep are stubborn sheep, and they won't wait for the green pastures. And they won't wait for the clear, pure, crystal water that the shepherd is leading them to. And so on their way, they stop and they drink from polluted potholes along the trail. And those potholes are contaminated with manure. They're contaminated with urine from previous flocks. And for a moment, that water satisfies them, but eventually riddles them with parasites and disease. It's the price they pay for instant gratification and for not following the shepherd to pure water. Now, I just wonder this morning, are you like those stubborn sheep? You know what Christians want today? They want a quick fix. You know, everything's instant. Instant coffee, instant soup, instant. That's what Christians want. They want a quick fix. They want instant happiness. And so they turn from the green pastures of God's Word, and they turn from the clear waters of the Holy Spirit, and they go to the polluted potholes of the world. And you say to me this morning, well, what harm can it do, and who can it hurt? My friend, do you not realize this morning the consequences of sin are often delayed, and seeds sown to the flesh often take time to sprout? Don't be deceived this morning. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. If you want success over stress, you need a walk in God's Spirit, God's gracious provision for you. Look. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's his word. He leads me beside the still waters. That's his Spirit. How can I handle stress? Well, there's the shepherd's presence to console you. That's the first thing. Secondly, there's the shepherd's provision to content you. That's the second thing. But thirdly, there's the shepherd's peace to control you. You know, no sight satisfies the shepherd as his sheep doing well, quietly lying down to rest, chewing the cud, ruminating, gaining weight. And of course, as I have intimated, they'll never lie down unless they're content. They'll never lie down in green pastures or anywhere else. If they're troubled, if they're insecure, if they're frightened, sheep only lie down when they feel content, when they are at peace, when they have this serenity. He maketh me to lie down. Listen, it's a picture of contentment. It's a picture of peace. It's a picture of serenity. Do you ever think about the lack of contentment in the world? The lack of contentment in the world. You see, the word contentment comes from two Latin words, con and tenio. It means to hold together, which is the opposite of falling to pieces. You see, contentment is simply saying the world may be falling apart at the seams, but I'm holding together because of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Coming downstairs one morning, a wealthy nobleman in Britain heard his cook exclaim, "If only I had £5, I would be content." Wishing to satisfy the needs of the lady, he came downstairs, he took £5 from his wallet, and he gave his cook the £5. She thanked him profusely. After he had stepped out of the door, he overheard her saying, "Why didn't I ask for 10?
How much do we need to be happy? Just a little bit more than we've got. A reporter came on one occasion and confronted the oil tycoon, the late oil tycoon, Paul J. Getty, and said to him, "Sir, if you retired now, would you say that your holdings would be worth $1 billion? Getty did some mental calculations, and he said, "Well, I suppose so, but remember, $1 billion doesn't go as far these days as it used to." Never content. Constantly striving after things. Living on credit. Widespread restlessness. And yet God says that He has provided for us everything to pertaining to life and to godliness, and we're to be content with His provision. And yet people are on the move. You ever stand on an airport and watch a fly past? I'm not talking about the planes now. I'm talking about the people. I mean, the people are going in all directions. I heard about an American airplane, a fighter airplane that fired its cannon and was moving so fast that it literally overtook the bullet and shot itself down. The plane was moving faster than the shell. There are a lot of us doing the same things. We're shooting ourselves down and we're not taking time to lie down. Think of the lack of contentment in the world and then the life of contentment in the Lord. Psalm 23 is a psalm of contentment. He maketh me to lie down. You know what the sheep's doing when it's lying down? It's chewing the cud. Did you know that a sheep has more than one stomach? To look at some of us, you would think we had two. But a sheep has more than one stomach. I'm not sure how many it has. Gareth could tell us. But at least it's got a second stomach. And when it begins to graze in the morning, it takes that sweet grass and it puts it in its second stomach. And then when the shepherd leads it on, it brings that grass up and it begins to chew it. What it's doing is this. It's chewing the cud. It's ruminating. Now, if the green pastures are the Word of God, what's the sheep doing when it's chewing the cud? It's meditating. In His law doth he meditate day and night. Do you know what's wrong with most of us? We don't lie down in the green pastures to meditate. You know, listen, some Christians think they've done the Lord a favor by coming to church on Sunday morning, and some can't even do that. But when do you meditate? When do you chew the cud? You say, "Dennis, I'm too busy." Well, then, you're busier than God ever intended you to be. Now, I'm not against business, and some of you are businessmen this morning. But you need to pause. You need to prioritize. You know what God does with some of us when we don't lie down? He makes us to lie down. We don't do it. And then He makes us. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Ah. But now I've kept thy word. He maketh me. But why don't you do it yourself? Why don't you say, "I want to be still. I want to know that He is God." How do you deal with stress? Remember, a distressed sheep is not producing. It's not producing wool. It's not producing fat. It's not reproducing. He maketh me to lie down. Why does He do it? Because He wants healthy sheep. I wonder this morning, do you want to know success over stress? Well, you've got the shepherd's presence to console you, and you've got the shepherd's provision to content you, and you've got the shepherd's peace to control you. I heard about a little boy one day that shouted, "Mommy!" His mother yelled back from the Christian, "What is it, Johnny?" The little boy said, "Mommy, you know that special dish that you always worried about?" "Yes, dear, what about it?" The little boy shouted, "Mommy, you don't have to worry about it anymore." My friends, with the shepherd's presence with you and the shepherd's provision before you and the shepherd's peace within you, all will be well. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's been a source of comfort and encouragement to us. Bless it to your dear people, for Christ's sake. Amen.